It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good Friday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Taking a few days off, Sandy is, but Lord willing, she'll be back in the chair on Monday morning. It's a delight to be with you. Not sure where you are this morning, but here in our hometown of Tupelo, Mississippi, it's a beautiful morning. Temperatures in the 60s, and if you live in the South in the summertime, temperatures in the 60s are such a blessing. So it's a really good day. Yes, it is another day, and we have another Joe Biden gaffe to talk about. I don't know what it is. His handlers must cringe because they keep saying, you know, Mr. Biden, please be careful about what you say. But it seems that he just can't help himself. And, you know, it's not just lately he has been making these verbal gaffes. This goes back years, folks. So before we talk about the latest one, which occurred in the last 24 hours, wanted to take a little trip down memory lane with Joe Biden. And as I say, I'm not sure what it is, but he just keeps putting it out there. Cut number 7.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
What kind of a chance with a Northeastern liberal like Joe Biden stand in the South?
Better than anybody else. And you don't know my state. My state was a slave state. My state is a border state. My state is the 8th largest black population in the country.
You got the first sort of mainstream African American who was articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Yeah. All right. As I say, you would think, because of the criticism that the former vice president has received for what he says, I mean, going way back, let's go back 2007, you just heard it there, where he referred to Barack Obama as nice and clean. And then that latest one with the black DJ saying that you ain't black if you don't vote for me. So you would think by now that he will have learned. But yesterday, he did it again. And in this case, it was kind of one of those virtual news conferences that the former vice president was having. And he got a question from NPR's Lula Garcia Navarro. And they were talking about if he would reengage with Cuba as president. That was the question, something the reporter suggested would have an impact on Cuban-American voters in Florida. All right? So that's the question that he was asked. Here's the response, cut number 4.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. You go to Florida, you find a very different attitude about immigration in certain places than you do when you're in Arizona. So it's a very different, a very diverse community.
Yeah. So there he is, Joe Biden saying the Latino community has diversity. They have various opinions on various issues. He says, unlike the black community. In other words, everybody in the black community, if you have black skin, you all think the same. Well, once again, members of the black community, both liberal and conservative, are shaking their head and saying, how can he do this? And one of those who was responding this morning to this is Rob Smith. He's author of Always a Soldier, Iraqi War Veteran, and a political analyst. Cut number five.
Look, every once in a while, the veneer of tolerance and inclusivity slips, and Democrats let you know who they really are and how they really feel about Black Americans. Joe Biden is saying that Black Americans are too stupid to have diversity of thought. He is saying that our community is not as diverse in our thought as other communities. And by the way, this comes just a few months after he said that you ain't Black if you don't vote for him. So this is what he truly thinks about African Americans. It's offensive, it's gross. And let me tell you something. I have a chapter in my book, Always a Soldier, called The Kanye Effect, Why Black Americans Are Leaving Democrats Behind. This is why Black Americans are leaving Democrats behind. We are tired of being manipulated. We are tired of being lied to. And by the way, we are tired of being traded for illegal immigrants, because he had another interview yesterday where he said that illegal immigrants should have the same rights as everybody else. And this disproportionately affects the jobs and the skills and the wages of Black Americans. So how I would respond to this is to tell Joe Biden that Black Americans do have diversity of thought. We have always had diversity of thought, and you need to stop hanging around these Black liberal leftists and the MSNBC types that you're hanging out with, and get into the real world and talk to real African Americans who have very diverse viewpoints about a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Rob Smith there in that clip, he really hits on something very important. What's singular in thought amongst Democrats is really that they have to continue to pander to one voice within the Black community, and that will get them the votes. They actually, I believe that. But it ain't happening. The Black community is smart. They're catching on to the fact that the Democratic Party has used them for years and years. They also now have the experience of almost 4 years with President Donald Trump, who before this pandemic, don't forget, brought the unemployment rate amongst Black Americans to its lowest level in history. And it's just not Black Americans, it's Hispanics also. So the reality of what President Trump has done, I believe, to use the play on word, is going to trump as long as this continues. But Joe Biden has definitely got a problem. And, you know, some people say it has to do with his age and he's losing his ability. But as we just played, this his comments with regards to people of different races goes way back, years. So this isn't just a current thing. And I honestly do believe it's one of the reasons why that the Democrats are trying to push and perhaps not have debates, one-on-one debates with President Trump. It's really interesting. President Trump in the last 24 hours and the Trump campaign, they want to move. The first debate right now is scheduled for September 29th. They want to move it up about 3 weeks because absentee ballots are going out very soon. And they want the American public, that's the Trump campaign, to actually see one-on-one Trump against Biden. But the Democrats don't want to do that. And so you see in this latest gaffe yesterday, which his handlers are now out there trying to say he didn't really mean what he said, but that's what he said, folks. And it's been repeated. That was just the first time he said that kind of remark. Maybe you could excuse it, but this is a pattern, folks. This is a pattern. And the Democrats know they have a problem. And the question is, what are they going to do about it? Probably they'll go to their mainstream media friends, and the mainstream media will make excuses for Joe Biden, just like his handlers are. Speaking of mainstream media, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, had a moment yesterday. Now, you know, she and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer are in negotiations with Republicans now for another pandemic relief bill. Now, there's a big difference. What the Republicans have proposed is a $1 trillion, which is a whole lot of money, more money for in a deal to help people who are having a tough time during the pandemic. the Democrats under Nancy Pelosi, the one that's been passed in the House, their bill, $3.4 trillion. Now, the Republicans, in the negotiations that have been going on this week, the Republicans have moved. They're saying they're willing to extend the $600 a week for the unemployed, at least for several more weeks until a deal is reached. Democrats, no doing. They want hundreds of billions of dollars to bail out Democrat-controlled cities. That's one of the things that they want. Anyway, last evening on PBS NewsHour, one of their anchors, Judy Woodruff, longtime journalist, has been around forever, dared to challenge Nancy Pelosi with regards to the flexibility of GOP lawmakers. They're flexible. Now listen to how Nancy Pelosi responded to that minor challenge from Judy Woodruff. Cut number six.
The other point Republicans are making is they are now showing flexibility in money for state and local governments. This is, again, a difference. Democrats want more money. Republicans want a lot less. They are saying they're willing to show flexibility. And they're also saying a lot of the money that was passed in the spring, Madam Speaker, has not even been spent yet.
Well, so if you want to be an advocate for them, there. Judy, if you want to be an advocate for them,
no,
let's know what the facts are.
I'm playing devil's advocate to ask you for your position.
All right, Nancy Pelosi then says, no, you're not. You know what happened there? You see, Nancy Pelosi is used to, as most Democrats are, real nice softball questions from the media. And the fact that Judy Woodruff would challenge Nancy Pelosi with somewhat, now, I don't even think that was a hardball question. All she was doing, Judy Woodruff, was repeating what the Republicans have done, the facts. But Nancy Pelosi, you can't challenge me. And then she accuses Judy Woodruff, who's a far left liberal journalist. Nancy Pelosi accuses Judy Woodruff of being if you want to be an advocate for the Republicans, you see, they're so, quite frankly, the Democrats are spoilt rotten because the mainstream media is as far left as the Democratic Party. But even any kind of little bit of that seems to be a challenge to Nancy Pelosi, yeah, forget about that. It is absolutely amazing. But there you have it. Nancy Pelosi, how dare you? You're sounding like the Republicans when you challenge me. And we can't have that from mainstream journalism. Absolutely amazing. Hey, listen, we've got a break coming up here, but I wanted to tell you an update from Portland, Oregon. It was another night of violence there Thursday evening, another night of violence. Rioters going after a police precinct. You remember last week, last 10 days, the mayor of Portland saying if the federal agents will leave, the federal agents were sent in to protect a federal courthouse in Portland, and the mayor of Portland, the governor of Oregon, was blaming those federal agents, saying the presence of the federal agents was instigating these rioters. Well, the federal agents have stepped aside, and the state police and local police have stepped in there. But you know what? The riots have not stopped. They've not stopped. The lasering of the state police now and the local police officers, all of that has continued. The burning of buildings, the riots in the street, and the Portland mayor, you know what he had to say about that? Talks to the rioters. He says, all you're doing is that you're helping Donald Trump because he's going to use the video of your riots in his political ads. That was his response. You know, reality is reality, folks. These rioters, it's all about insurrection. It's all about domestic terrorism. And they're not going to stop until the left even caves in. All right, much more ahead here in Sandy Rios in the Morning. Got a guest coming up that you're not going to want to miss. We'll be back.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Jessica Reed, director of the Federal Consulting Group. Ms. Reed's group offers consulting, executive coaching, and performance and customer satisfaction measuring services to federal agencies. Proverbs 21:5 reminds us of the importance of wise planning in our business practices. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Jessica Reed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Illinois lawmakers want public schools to stop teaching history. State Representative LaShawn Ford issued a statement calling for the abolishment of history classes in Illinois schools. He says the current classes lead to a racist society and overlook the contributions of women and minorities. Instead, he wants to craft a brand new way of teaching about the past. For starters, he wants grade schoolers to learn about gay rights and the civil rights movement. Supporters say children have been miseducated, and they warn the current system is feeding what they call systemic racism for generations. In my latest book, Culture Jihad, I wrote about how the left planned to fundamentally transform America, and it goes far beyond the destruction of statues and banning books. This is more nefarious. They're erasing our history. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live, noon to 3 Eastern, or download my podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Well, we've all seen witness, and we were just talking about the latest rioting in Portland last night. We're seeing this kind of tension in a variety of cities across the country. You had the Chop Zone in Seattle, in Minneapolis. Now, the mainstream media likes to say this is all related to the death of George Floyd, the African-American man who died while being arrested by police officers there in Minneapolis. But you know what? A lot more is happening out there, and it really has little to do with that particular incident in Minneapolis. It has a whole lot more to do with an ideological battle that's going on out there. These rioters, from the group Black Lives Matter, the organization Black Lives Matter, Antifa, their agenda moves way beyond George Floyd. It moves into a desire, a push, a fight for a fundamental change in America. They want to move this country towards socialism, towards Marxism. A lot of analysts have been talking about that these young people, for the most part, have been trained, have been indoctrinated on university campuses. And I'll tell you what, our next guest, Dr. Carol Swain, is well familiar with what's going on with our campuses across the country. She is a former professor of political science, professor of law at Vanderbilt University. She has also been a tenured associate professor of politics and public policy at Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. She's now author, public speaker, public commentator, and yes, she's a born-again believer. And we are so delighted to have Dr. Carol Swain with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Swain.
Fred, and you did a very excellent assessment of what has been taking place on college campuses. And I can say that it goes beyond that because there are organizations out there that are training people that are in Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And police officers will tell you that these people have earpieces, just like the Secret Service, that when they do these protests, that one person is assigned, you know, to break out the windows, another one to deliver the bricks. And it's not spontaneous uprisings in these cities and states across the nation.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the organization Black Lives Matter, because they're very involved with this. And correct me if I'm wrong, I want your assessment on this. The title is being used as a cover for something that, you know, is as I say, goes well beyond what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis. Talk a little bit about this. Why are they being lifted up as some kind of hero in the Black community?
Well, the political left has always been very good at naming things in a way to disguise what they're really about. And so instead of saying pro-abortion, you say pro-choice. That would be one example. But the slogan, Black Lives Matter, it's a truth statement in the same way that all lives matter. We know all lives matter to God. And so there are people out there who care about Black people. They want to show their support for Blacks, and they believe that they have to affirm Black Lives Matter. So they are confusing the slogan with an organization that was started by three Black women, two of them queer. It was funded by George Soros to get it off the ground. Now it's being funded and kept alive by corporations and individuals, foundations all across America. They have millions of dollars because people think that this is a way to show support for Black people when really they are funding a organization that I would say is terrorist in the same sense as Antifa.
Do you think...
And these are global organizations.
Sure.
These are global organizations. They're much bigger than the United States, and their ultimate goal is to overthrow the U.S.
Do you think the leadership of the Democratic Party knows what you just outlined about Black Lives Matter?
Here, because the leadership of the Democratic Party has been infiltrated by people that are far left. They have no interest in America. And if you go back and study the Marxist agenda, there was always the goal to take over one of the political parties. So I would argue that they've taken over the Democratic Party and they're working on the Republican Party. And they use the tactics of deception, infiltration, and manipulation. And so they deceive people by presenting themselves as something that they're not. They get inside of organizations. And once they're inside, they begin to work within to dismantle that organization. They bring in other people who share their values. And before you know it, you've lost your organization, whether it's a church, a university, or a political party. The people who have this Marxist ideology, they have very carefully laid out a strategy that seems to be effective. Otherwise, we would not be in the position we are today in America. And the situation with George Floyd, if it wasn't George Floyd, it would be someone else, because the political left, very strategically, they can always find a case to use the media to blow it up in such a way that it works people into a frenzy. And whether it's George Floyd or the coronavirus deaths, the media works hand in hand with the far left to keep the people, the American people, deceived and riled up over something.
I want to talk a little bit about, because a lot of what you talk about is led by people who are white. And one of the things that's being used these days is critical race theory, which basically says if you're white, you are racist. And so if you don't agree with us, it's based on the fact that you are racist because you are white. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, critical race theory comes out of critical theory, and critical theory is a part of Marxism. And it argues that racism is permanent, that all white people are privileged, that they have a property interest in their whiteness, and the only way they can make themselves right or redeem themselves is by divesting themselves of their whiteness. And it's not enough to be non-racist yourself. You have to be anti-racist. And so that's why you see white people in those movements and being encouraged, you know, to reject themselves in a way. Young people are being told to hate their privilege, to hate the fact that they have white skin. And by that privilege, that includes being born in and raised in families with two parents. And we have a new kind of racism, I would argue, and it is targeted against white people because according to critical race theory, you know, the white people are white supremacists just because they're born with white skin. And we know that has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all people were created in God's image, that he decided which family you would be born into, your race, and these things about your nation. These are not things that individuals control. We also know that sin has always been a problem, and when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for our past, present, and future sins. Yes, slavery was a sin, but God used that in a providential way to really benefit and bless black Americans because blacks in America are better off than blacks any place else in the world. Otherwise, you would not find so many people risking their lives to be here. So this whole thing that's taken place, and many churches have come on board with social justice. The Southern Baptists, I'm a part of the Southern Baptists, they have apologized for slavery at least five or six times, maybe more. They constantly apologize. We see images in the news of white people down on their knees begging for forgiveness. When Jesus Christ died on the cross one time for our past, present, and future sins, that certainly included slavery and Jim Crow racism and everything that's happened since then. What we need to do now is to extend forgiveness and to work together for our nation. And when we do work together, we prosper. And the true story of America has been a story where whites and blacks have worked together and we have prospered together.
So, Doctor, we're talking with Dr. Carol Swain, author, political commentator, public speaker, longtime professor at universities like Vanderbilt and Princeton University. It's a joy to have you with us today. So we've outlined the problem. We've outlined the problem. So what is the solution here? You know, you've just talked about universities, indoctrination centers. We're now talking about churches, and you've mentioned the Southern Baptist Convention are getting involved with critical race theory. They passed this resolution last year at their convention about using critical race theory as a tool. So in your opinion, what do we have to do to turn these things around? And I think the first message has to go to Christian parents.
I don't know whether it goes to the parents or goes to the church. The church is misguided because it's turned to the secular world. Critical race theory is part of Marxist ideology, which is anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-religion, and the church should be teaching the world rather than adopting failed secular theory. So that's the first problem. And then when it comes to parents, it should be totally unacceptable to allow your child to be discriminated against because of their skin color. And we have to realize that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution that comes from the 14th Amendment, it protects everyone. And so white people are included. And I think that the new form of racism is as unacceptable as the racism that we reject that has occurred against persons of color, and that we have to expose things when they take place. We cannot allow a double standard where one group engages in behavior against another that would be totally unacceptable. And what I mean by this is, if it's wrong to do a particular kind of thing to a racial and ethnic minority, it's also wrong to do it to a white person as well. And I believe that at this present moment, there's a lot of discrimination that's taken place within institutions, at colleges and universities, that's targeted against Christians, against conservatives, against people who are white. That's unacceptable too. And we're sending the wrong messages to our children, but a lot of us adults who know better have been silenced. We should not allow ourselves to be silenced, and we are Christians, and we stand up for our Judeo-Christian values and principles. It's very clear as to how we should treat one another.
Dr. Swain, tell me, your voice needs to be heard across the black community. Do you think there is a growing acceptance to at least listen to your point of view on these issues?
It's not just black people that need to hear it. The bigger problem comes from white liberals, and they are the bigger problem, because I think that when you talk to average black people and average white people, they don't have a big race problem. There was a survey recently by Gallup that showed that 61% of black people want more police presence in their communities. They're not out there trying to defund the police. They want the police in their communities. You would not know that by listening to the news. And so I think that the people who need to hear our voice, or my voice, or voices like mine, are in the white and black community, but the white community, the liberal, leftist, the university presidents, the progressive pastors, they're the ones that are the bigger problem, and we need to hold them accountable.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I want people to know more about you, Dr. Swain. Where can they go? Do you have a website where they can read more about your thoughts on these things?
Weekly podcast on my website, thepeoplenews.com, and I post blogs there occasionally, and I'm also on national TV at times, and if you Google, you can find videos of me talking about various issues on PragerU. So there's PragerU, there's my website, thepeoplenews.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I'm very active on social media, and my Twitter handle is Carol M. Swain, and Facebook is Dr. Carol M. Swain.
Amen. You have been a blessing to our audience this morning, Dr. Swain. I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye for now. Now, what you may not know about Dr. Swain, because you may be thinking, well, maybe she grew up in a privileged family, go and read her biography. You can watch. There's a 6-minute video on her website. You know, she grew up as one of 12 kids, and as she says, in a 2-room shack there in Virginia. And she worked hard, got her GED, went on to university, and became what God has allowed her to become today. And I tell you, it's an incredible story. All right, want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Dr. Swain had a lot to say. You hear what she had to say. Academia out there, the indoctrination of our kids at public universities, our churches have become a problem because they're buying into this critical race theory, social activism. Want to hear from you. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We are back after this break.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that he has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Sometimes there's a delay between crying out to God in prayer and seeing those prayers answered. It is imperative for us in those times that we don't waver in our confidence in our God. The next verse goes on to say, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." You see, the delay between supplication and delivered answer is one of the ways God develops endurance in us. He desires that the roots of our faith grow down deep, that we become trees planted by rivers of living water, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in his work. In this, we grow beyond superficial Christianity.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
It's Truth for Youth Week, and whether students are in school, online, or somewhere in between, everybody needs Jesus. Let's get the Word of God to as many students as possible.
First time I heard about the Truth to Youth Bible was on American Family Radio. I promised myself that I was going to give it to someone who wasn't following Jesus.
The Truth for Youth Bible appeals to students with the entire New Testament and full-color comics which present the gospel and moral truths.
I just want to thank you so much because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord.
Revival Fires International will give one Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. Visit truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com.
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ.
That's truthforyouth.com. Help spread God's Word with the Truth for Youth Bible and AFR.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Chinese Communist Party just suffered a significant casualty in its people's war against America. A man the CCP had successfully recruited and groomed to help underwrite its operations both in China and in this country through its insidious Thousand Talents program is no longer able to channel billions of dollars from California public employees' savings to finance the party's military buildup, human rights abuses, and other malign activities. Unfortunately, while Yu Banmeng's run as CalPERS chief investment officer is over, others in the U.S. financial sector are still working hard to help Beijing wage economic warfare against their own country. Even Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is reportedly urging President Trump to allow Chinese companies that don't conform to our securities laws to keep having access to our capital markets for two more years. That should be a firing offense. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to the Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Just love that interview with Dr. Carol Swain. She is so wise on so many fronts. And you know what? One of the most important things I think she had to say in that, and she knows about this because she became a Christian, a born-again believer many years ago, is that we need to get the Word of God into the hearts of our young people, folks. And as you just heard a moment ago, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio. We partner up with Revival Fires International, giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise then to pass it along to a friend during this school year that's coming up. And of course, the goal this year, 60,000 Bibles. And we're getting down to the end of this special presentation. So two ways to order your free Bible, okay? You can go to their website, visit Truth for Youth, all lowercase there, truthforyouth.com. So you can order online anytime. And in about 15 minutes, the phones will open up. The 800 numbers will open up. So just write this down, 800-733-4737. That's 800-800-733-4737. So wait about 15 minutes, and those phone lines will open up and get your order in. One free Bible, you order that Bible with the understanding that you will give that Bible to your young person who's going to school, and they will pass it along to someone else. I tell you what, this campaign has been going on now for years, and the number of people who have been reached, the testimonies of kids who received this Bible, and we say at just the right time, well, a God-appointed time, and what a difference it makes in lives. And we talk about turning this country around, folks. It's going to take a spiritual turning around in this country, like Dr. Swain was talking about. All right, 888-589-8840. Let's go to our phones this morning, and let's go first to Missouri, and we welcome Debbie. Debbie, good morning to you. Go ahead.
Hi. You're probably going to miss me here.
Go ahead. All right. I think we've lost. Okay, Debbie, yeah. You're back. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, the phone line is really bad. Are you traveling?
I am. I'm pulling over.
All right. We want you to be careful.
Okay.
All right.
I just caught the end of Dr. Swain's, what she had to say, and I was just so touched by what she had to say, because she's right. Hmm. There's not, in my opinion, and in where I'm from, there's not a lot of racism between the white people and the black people in my community. Hmm. It is all coming from media. And I just would like to say that I really was touched by what she said, and I appreciate her, and I intend to spread her name and her message far and wide.
Yes.
And I also want to say, give praise to God, because the last 5 years of my life, I lost my husband. He died in my car holding my hand, and I fell away from I walked away from God. I slammed the door on him. And it has been, the devil has attacked me from every which way he can. And last night I went to church with my sister, and just suddenly everything was lifted from me.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to say to anyone else out there, if I can, that's struggling and going through the evil that we're going through in our world right now, to just keep looking up, because when you hang your head in shame, that's when the devil has won.
Yeah, yeah. Debbie, thank you so much for calling. And we're going to be praying. I want Sandy's audience right now, remember Debbie from Missouri, and going to lift you up in prayer. And we thank you for your testimony this morning, Debbie. And we pray for God's strength, God's wisdom, God's comfort, God's grace on your life. And thank you so much for calling. We appreciate that. That's what we do here at American Family Radio, folks. We bring people together, and we all need Jesus, and we now need a clearer picture of who Jesus really is, especially when we're going through difficult times like this. Don't forget, God is still in control. Don't you think for a moment that the pandemic somehow trumps God's control or what's going on with racial tension in this country. That's just the devil's plan, folks. God is still in control. We need to. And I heard an example back a couple of months ago. What we do, even as Christians, many times, we put a lens of our circumstances and we try to look at God through our circumstances. And that's wrong. We have to put God in front of our circumstances and look at our circumstances through God's sovereignty, through who God is, and that He loves us. And He has a future for us. And that's very helpful. And hopefully we'll help you this morning. All right. Out to Texas. And let's talk to Jerry. Jerry, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm a college professor at a small city in Texas. It has a large minority population, actually 50% minority. And this is what was told to us during a faculty meeting when school was still open last spring. A top administrator held up their cell phone and said, "Our job is not to teach our students facts. They can get all the facts they want on this device. Our job is to teach them how to deal with their feelings and their stress." And they went on to talk about all the programs the school was building to help people pay for their rent and their groceries and their gasoline to commute to campus, in addition to all the Pell Grants that students were already receiving. Mm-hmm. That's the state that we have in our college campuses. We're no longer about information and teaching a degree program. We're about feelings.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jerry. And Jerry's testimony could be repeated over and over and over again. If you read Dr. Carol Swain's story and what she faced at Vanderbilt University after she wrote a column in the Tennessean where she expressed her feelings, as I recollect, it's been a while since I looked at this, she expressed her feelings, I believe, about Islam. And wow, what happened to her at Vanderbilt? But I'll tell you what, we need to be praying for Christian professors like Dr. Carol Swain, like Jerry. And we need to be praying for our students, our Christian students, because they are being subjected, as Jerry just told us, whether it's a community college or university, they are being subjected to indoctrination that's very anti-scriptural. They're being subjected to an indoctrination that teaches them that it is the state that will take care of you, and teaching them that our Christian roots are actually evil, the Christian roots of this country are actually evil. And we've had this discussion before on various programs here at American Family Radio. Parents, Christian parents we're talking to here, every penny you have belongs to God in your wallet. Do you really want to be investing the money that God has given you by sending your kids to an indoctrination center that hates the Word of God? Something to think about. All right. Let's try to get a few more calls in before we come to the end of our program this morning. Let's go to Nancy in Alabama. Nancy, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Fred. First of all, thank you for putting Dr. Swain on this morning. She said it right, and we need to listen. But also, my heart is very burdened for our churches. We've got to stop being politically correct. Our pastors have got to be bold, and our people have got to get off their complacent and apathetic attitudes and start speaking, or we're going to lose this nation to a godless society. And I thank your place, AFR, I thank you guys so much all day long. You're talking the truth about what needs to be done, and I appreciate every single one of you guys for what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Nancy. It's our privilege to be here, and it's folks like you that cheer us on as we continue this battle. And it is a spiritual battle, folks. The political side of things is just a manifestation. It's just a manifestation of the spiritual warfare that's going on in our country right now. All right, trying to squeeze in as many calls as we can this morning. Let's go to Texas and Shelley. Shelley, good morning. Go ahead. Shelley, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Lord has given me an opportunity to be in downtown Austin 2 days a week for the last month, and I'll be able to do that for another 2 weeks. And since I'm already in the city, he sent me to the Capitol to prayer walk around the Capitol of Texas. And in the course of prayer walking around the Capitol of Texas, I have had the opportunity to encourage and pray for 30 or 40 state troopers.
Amen.
And 10 or 15 National Guard specialists. Mm-hmm. And out of those 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 people I've had an opportunity to pray for, there's only been one who said, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." Mm-hmm. All the rest of them have taken off their hats and folded their hands and bowed their heads. And yesterday I was encouraging one of the state troopers, and then I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said, "Oh, yes." And when I got through praying for him, the light of encouragement that had been kindled in his eyes was like a laser. It was incredible. And so you guys are doing a great job. I loved what Dr. Swain had to say. We need to be speaking the truth, but we also need to be encouraging each Amen. Other in Amen. The most holy faith.
Absolutely, Shelley. And thank you that you've taken on that mission field there at the Capitol in Austin, Texas, and encouraging these National Guard people. Folks, we need to be doing this. Every opportunity that you have, I was passing through the Nashville airport not too long ago, the last couple of weeks, and one of the, I believe it was a state police officer, a local police officer in Nashville, was there on guard at the Nashville airport. Just said a word to him that he would take care of himself and tell him that we appreciate what he is doing. Our police officers are under attack right now. You know that by the political left in this country. The defund the police department's movement is satanic. And that's all I can say. That's what it is. So encourage your local police officers. Do what our caller just has done. You see National Guard people in these situations. Encourage them. It means an awful lot. All right, at least one more call. Hopefully we can get one more call in here. Dory in Virginia. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning. I just want to first say I'm so thankful for the radio station and being able to listen to it on my drive every morning and know that I'm not alone.
Amen.
I wanted to let you know I live in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm just really saddened on the Methodist Church. The bishop forbid in-person worship in Richmond, and this is going on 5 months. 2 months ago, the Methodist Church organized a unity march where they knelt down for 8.5 minutes to represent Floyd, and it just broke my heart. We didn't go because we didn't believe in it, but it just broke my heart to see that the church, how politicized it is. The sermons have been about, white guilt. We've actually been able to find another church, and I've been a Methodist my whole life. But we've actually been able to find another church who's been meeting in worship as soon as, they were allowed, per the governor. And, I cried that first worship service where we were able to go and worship with other Christians. And, that's what I want to share is that we need that unity. We need other people to worship with and know that we're not alone.
Yep. Dory, I agree with you. We must worship in truth. And that's what's missing today in so much, certainly in the mainstream media and how they're describing what's going on in our country right now. Truth is not getting out there, but we're thankful there are still some avenues. There are still people like Dr. Carol Swain, who we talked with a few moments ago, and her message needs to get out there. The truth of the matter is, as Dr. Swain told us, is sin. And that crosses all racial lines. And we need to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. We need to surrender first so that we understand that by trusting in Him, what He did on Calvary's cross, that we can become His children and then get into God's Word. Not only learn the truth ourselves, but also share that with others. That's our task, folks. That's our assignment. That's our mission. So go out and do it this weekend. Been a pleasure to be with you today. God bless you. More great programming here on American Family Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you for making it possible for us to do that. Be a blessing to someone else today. We'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.